Welcome to the Retired Podcast. I'm Riley.
And I'm Noah.
We're former professional athletes turned to parents and business owners.
We created this podcast to talk about sports, life, and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get to it.
Welcome back.
Today's episode is going to be completely ASMR.
Okay, we're restarting that because you just interrupted me. Rude.
Let it ride.
So rude. We just talked about how I was going to do the intro. Anyways, welcome to the Retired Podcast. In today's episode, we are doing Q&As part two.
Part two.
If you are confused and you missed the part one, go ahead and listen on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Because we big time like that.
Shout out to our eight listeners.
You think we're up to eight?
You know, I'm thinking wishfully.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think we're moving up in the world.
We'll see.
For sure.
All right, here we go.
Lay it on me. What do we got?
These questions, some are lighthearted, some are easy, some are kind of deep.
I do have one request.
Okay.
Can we lead off with the social media question? Because I made a promise.
Yes.
To shout out Justin Royce for leaving this question for us. And I told him I would lead him off with this episode.
Okay.
So.
The question is, describe how to and how not to post on social media.
As an athlete?
As an athlete.
As a part of an organization or a team?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a great one. Basically how to utilize social media, but also how not to get yourself in trouble with mm-hmm. social media.
How to use it and how not to use
it. I'll let you talk about how to use it. How do you utilize social media as an athlete?
I think it depends on what you want. I think in the era of NIL, you're always, I mean, how many times have you heard the word brand? I mean, I've heard it so many times I want to throw up. Mm. I don't know. I think social media, it just depends on what your goals are. Do you want NIL partnerships? Do you just want to use social media as like almost like a digital photo album for yourself? Some people don't want to use social media for, you know, public
and spectacles. Honestly, like, respect to those people. Not saying
it's not for everybody
who use it for NIL. I'm not saying disrespect to them, but like to be in this day and age and still just want nothing to do with social media.
I mean, if we didn't have a little bit of revenue coming in from our social medias, I probably wouldn't use it a whole lot. I mean, I barely use it as is.
I barely use my personal one anymore.
Anyways,
sorry to all if the 30,000 people who followed after the bat flip video.
You are recruiting right now, that's like a whole different animal. We can talk about, you know, how to set up a recruiting social media account, strategies for that. That's like a whole thing. But I would say if you're posting on social media, just like a regular person, or as we would call it, a NARP, a non-athletic regular person who's just using social media like normal people do, I'm just post part of your life, like where you're going, what you're doing, just like normal stuff.
The question is targeted to people who are athletes. Like,
I think for athletes, it's more about what not to post.
Right.
Like, unless you want to get into NIL stuff and recruiting stuff, if you are a student athlete and you're not using social media to like leverage yourself, there are definitely things you don't want to post.
Yeah. I'll talk about that. I mean,
go for it.
Well, it's obviously like if you're a part of a team or in college, especially, like probably don't post yourself like partying, drinking, drugs, all those
things. I would say never post a picture with any kind of alcohol in your hand or in a friend's hand or in anybody else's hand or anywhere in the background.
Right. It's just a slippery slope. No reason to. But really, I think the question is designed more towards like things that you say. So like, let's take Twitter, for instance, the Josh Hader incident. I'm sure people have heard of that and it's from a while back, but like pretty sure he got fined or not banned or maybe suspended for a few games for either he tweeted some sort of slur or alluded to a slur or retweeted something with a slur. Long story short, especially on Twitter, X, be careful what you're even liking or retweeting or definitely what you're tweeting. But even on like things like Instagram,
careful. Is it called tweeting anymore if it's called X?
I think it still has to be called tweeting.
Okay.
It's gotta be. Xing.
You're Xing it.
Yeah, that can't happen. So yeah, I mean, I've heard stories of people all the time getting kicked off their teams. And then when you get into the pro life, it's fines, it's suspensions, it's if you're not careful, team's not wanting anything to do with you and you possibly losing your career. But if you're at the college level, scholarships on the line, like just be mindful of what you're sharing. And obviously
the rule we always talk about in like my bubble is if you don't want your grandma to see it, don't post it. If you wouldn't want to read it or show it or do anything with it with your grandma.
Yeah. If your pastor was reading that tweet that you retweeted and it would make you uncomfortable and a little sweaty.
Yeah.
Don't retweet it. You know?
Yeah.
So that's a good question from Jay Royce on the use of social media. Be smart, be careful, leverage it if you can.
If you have to question whether or not you should be posting something,
yeah,
you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, it's like the golden rule. Cool. Next question.
Okay. Did you play other positions growing up, and how did you know how to pick the right one?
I was fairly limited to positions because I was a lefty. However, when you're younger, you kind of can get away with playing like a little bit of middle infield. I think I even caught like a couple games. But no, being a lefty, I was pretty limited. So I was either going to be first base, outfield, or pitcher. And pitching was kind of my thing growing up. Like that's really where I don't want to say dominated, but like thrived. I broke my elbow three different times.
The coach pitch days when you were just...
No, not coach pitch.
Other teams?
No, I'm not talking about standing in the circle next to the coach fielding balls. No. But yeah, then I broke my elbow three times and pitching quickly became a distant memory. But yeah, no, I played first base quite a bit, but then once I got to like college, I was like so deathly afraid of the hot corner. That I quickly, well, that plus the yips, turning the double play, we've talked about this, quickly found my way into the outfield once I finally had a little bit of speed.
Are they called the yips if they're permanent?
Yeah.
At that point, are you just bad at infield?
No, it's the yips.
Okay.
I can make that throw.
Okay.
But I can't. Like, I physically can.
Mm-hmm.
But when mentally. It becomes a mental thing, it's a yip.
Okay.
So.
I played a lot of positions. I would say the only positions I really didn't play were catcher and outfield. So pretty much all the infield positions. I dabbled in pitching, especially in high school at my private school.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Dabbled?
No.
You were like, and again, your private school was, not to be rude, but the level of competition was a joke. Anyways.
Not to be rude, proceeds to be rude.
But you were like pitcher of the year, pitcher of the entire century at TVS.
The one stat I do have is that I think for the whole season for public and private schools, I held the DFW lowest ERA record.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
I mean, it had to have been zero.
Dang.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of unearned runs, but.
You're not even a pitcher.
Yeah, but it was a different time. Anyways, I dabbled in pitching. I played, when I first started playing softball, I played third base and second base. I played shortstop kind of like in the middle of my recruiting career. And I would say a lot of people who know me well would argue that I'm a better shortstop than a third baseman, but I think I like third base the most.
Which so is I psychotic think, because you stand literally 3 feet from the hitter.
That's like what makes it fun. Shortstop is wonderful, and I do love aspects of shortstop, but I just like being closer to the ball. I just like that part of it. But knowing how to pick the right one, I think, is tricky. I think you have to try to find the right combination of what your natural abilities give you the best chance for, and then also what you feel like you like. And if those two align, you're in a great place, but sometimes they don't. And like my senior year at A&M, I did not want to play shortstop. But I kind of had to.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I think I did fine. I didn't love it, but I was good at it.
I didn't want to play first base, and I didn't have to. So I went to the outfield, where I felt much more mentally free. Call me a wuss, whatever. I was a good outfielder. Right?
Scaredy cat.
Kind of. I had good speed. My arm was absolutely garbage, though. Yeah. I mean, I was just like,
we won't talk about that.
Just hit your cut. You know, that's the coach would tell me, hey, just hit your cut. All right.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Don't try to be a hero.
So try to find which one you're inclined towards athletically and then which one you like. And hopefully they're the same thing. That'd be great for you.
Next question.
Okay. What is the most important quality to have as a hitter, both physically and mentally?
I'll be honest, the ability to put the bat on the ball.
So like bat ball skills?
Yes. 100%.
That's the physical part for you?
And mentally, I think that like, okay, I'll put a different answer for mentally. But yes, physically, the ability to put the bat on the ball, even though the game is moving away from that being the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a prime example of somebody who put on an impressive BP and had some power, but sucked in games at the higher levels because I couldn't put the bat on the ball consistently. But a lot of that moving towards mental, just like, I don't know, kind of an unwavering belief in yourself. Like, I know it's hard to, or I would say just steadiness mentally. You can't get too high or too low. I think that that's something I struggled with was either over-amping myself up in certain situations or letting like panic set in, lack of confidence from probably lack of preparation sometimes. So just like being able to stay even keel as a hitter would be a good mental skill to have.
Yeah.
Not easily attained. I don't know how one attains that. Well, I already kind of alluded to it, preparation.
Yeah. Okay, I think my physical ability that is the most important is athleticism. And I think you could say the same, you could say the same thing with different words. We usually allude to things like body awareness. Like, yeah. I think if you tell your body to do something and your body doesn't listen to you, you're going to have a hard time hitting.
Yeah, that's a great
like if you
answer.
Tell yourself to step, like if we're talking about timing and you're facing a slow pitcher. And you say, okay, I'm early. Let me step later so that I can be on time. That and then you step at the exact same time.
Yeah.
So I think athleticism and body awareness can be used interchangeably. And then mentally, I would say, is your ability to be successful at the plate is dependent on your ability to be objective.
Mm.
I think a lot of hitters, and I know it is this way for women in real life, like just not hitting, but like just real life itself.
Yeah.
Most of the time, we're not psyched out by the action or event that takes place. So, like, as a hitter, let's say you swung and missed a rise ball. Okay, the actual action is not what makes us stressed out. It's our feelings about the action.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I swung and missed. A normal, rational person would be like, okay, either don't swing at it if it's a ball, or maybe let's try to hit the top of it if it's a strike. But the irrational, you know, anxiety-ridden mind is going to talk about all the things in your head that are non-actionable thoughts. Like, oh my gosh, I swung and missed. What if I do it again? What if I do this? When the card comes, going to be so bad. My dad told me not to swing the rise ball, and here I am. And then blah, 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 blah.
This is definitely not just a female thing.
Okay.
My mind has done that many times.
But it's like your brain gets swirled with all of these thoughts, none of which are actually helpful for the next pitch that's actually probably already coming your way at this point. So just the ability to be objective about your adjustments, about your failures, about your successes, and then save all your feelings and like reflection and all that kind of stuff for after the game.
Yeah, and I think that like when somebody says keep it simple, like that's what they mean.
Yeah.
And I've always missed that in my entire career. I always thought like keep it simple meant, okay, I have to not think about
nothing.
Hitting it all and sing like Three Little Birds by Bob Bartley.
Yeah.
Like that's what's going to allow me to have a clear mind. It's like, no, have a process that is very objective, but don't be thinking every tiny little thought with anxiety the entire time you're in the box. That's keeping it simple. Yeah, good point. Great answers. Athleticism, great answer. Because I've seen people with great mechanics and lack of athleticism who just don't hit. And I've seen people who are freak athletes and okay mechanics who rake.
Yeah.
So be an athlete. All right, next question.
Okay. Who is most likely to cry in a sports movie? And what is your favorite sports movie?
You know, I feel like originally I would say you first, just because, not because you're like a female and more emotional, but because you cry more than I do. But let me finish. Sports movies get me. I got a weak spot for sports movies.
We talked about this like 2 episodes ago. I've only seen you cry twice.
Right.
In our relationship. One, we will not talk about. The other was at our wedding.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. You would be the one to cry more.
Yeah.
That was my
point. I thought
point.
You were going to say you were going to be the one to cry more. And no, I was like, there's no shot.
You would be the one to cry
more. I cry
more,
like once a day.
But I am saying if there's something that's going to get me, it's a good sports movie. You're telling me, like, when Gary Bertier gets in the car crash and Remember the Titans, and he's laying there on the bed cheering on the Titans on the TV, like, that got me. That tugged on my heartstrings a little bit. So that leads to my next answer. My favorite sports movie, Remember the Titans. Daddy coached him.
So cliche.
Daddy coached him.
That was Hayden Panettiere's.
Yep. And I was probably the age that she was in that movie. Mm-hmm. And I had a crush.
Oh, no doubt. She's super cute.
Especially in that movie.
So I would say I'm most likely to cry in a sports movie. One of my favorite sports movies, it's my favorite, not because it's like the best movie, but because I used to watch it with my dad a lot. The Rookie.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. Just wholesome.
Yeah. Can I give a runner-up?
Yeah, I'll give one to you. Let me give mine first.
Okay.
Runner-up, Moneyball.
Oh my God. That's pretty bad, if I'm being honest.
What?
It's a good movie, but like of all the sports movies, yeah. Moneyball is your second favorite of all time.
Not because, well, think about it like this. The lead character is not the person who I resonate with. It's the team he's coaching. Like the guys in the team that he's coaching.
It's a great movie.
Or managing or whatever you want to call it. Owning.
I played for them. So trust me, I get it. It's a great movie. Never actually met Billy Beane, though. I met a different Billy Beane. Anyways, my second... I gotta give a third, too. Can I give a second answer?
No, just two. We gotta move on.
Okay, number two has gotta be Miracle. One of the greatest movies of all time. And then number three, sleeper pick. Rookie of the Year, Henry Rollingardner. Great movie. Okay, I'm ready. Next.
Lame. Okay. When is a good age to start weight training? I feel like I can touch on this one.
12 or 13.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit.
Could be
more.
Sooner. Could be later.
So if you're looking for, like, I know most people, when they talk about weight training, they're talking about, like, strength and size. And to be perfectly honest, you're not going to start seeing real results in strength and size, number one, until after you learn the basics of lifting. So, like, just learning form, learning how to, like, rack and unrack safely, learning how to, you know, count the numbers. But then two, when you have enough testosterone in your body, and that happens for people at different rates. Some people it happens like right in the middle of puberty or right at the beginning of puberty, or for some people it's towards the end of puberty. And so size is something I don't think, especially as an athlete, like size is not your goal as far as like muscular size goes. Your goal should just be overall strength and stability.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be durable, and lifting weights can help you be durable to go through the whole course of the season without getting injured. So I would say put your kid in gymnastics or like karate or taekwondo tomorrow.
Yep.
That way they can start building good upper body strength, good form, body awareness,
body
athleticism,
awareness.
All that kind of stuff. And then maybe when they're like, you were saying 12 or 13, put them in some like early CrossFit classics. I feel like they do a pretty good job showing compound lifts and like giving good mechanics if that's your only option. And then seriously start hitting weight training. Like for girls, it's going to be after puberty probably.
Yeah, a little sooner than boys.
You'll have testosterone in your body by that time. For boys, it's going to be after you start noticing some physical changes. So deeper voice, some facial hair.
Yeah.
Some chest hair.
Some boys never get facial hair or chest hair.
Armpit hair. Still don't.
Armpit hair is a good one.
Yeah. Well, those are just signals that your body's producing testosterone. You need the testosterone not only for recovery, but for the actual muscle building itself.
Good answer. Next.
Next. What other sports did you play growing up?
I mean, I feel like when I was young, I played all of them, you know, just recreationally, soccer, basketball, try them all.
Badminton.
But no, not badminton. But sports like I legitimately kind of stuck with. Honestly, when I was like 10 to 12 to 13 or 14, it was just baseball and motocross.
You told me about
And
that one.
yep, and once I kind of stopped motocross to pursue baseball. It was really just baseball. I mean, I played football occasionally. Once I got to middle school and high school, I played a little bit of football. But once I made varsity for baseball, my sophomore year of high school, I was pretty much done with football. I was like, I'm all in. But basketball stopped at a young age. Soccer, too much running. Track, wanted to do, but it was in baseball season, couldn't do it. So it's kind of limited. I wish I would have played golf at a young age. Just wasn't rounded enough.
Yeah. I did kind of the same thing. I was a gymnast first and foremost for a little bit. Played soccer, hated it. My parents made me take a break from gymnastics when I was like six, I think. And they enrolled me in softball. It's like, I cried. I didn't want to do it. They put me on the same team as my best friend. And I struck out my first two at bats in T-ball.
Oh,
And then I kept coming back for
wait.
whatever reason.
How do you strike out in
You
T-ball?
know, I'm not really sure, but I know that I cried on the way back to the dugout and I was out. I'm sure there's some like camcorder footage from forever ago of it.
That's tough.
But I played softball from an early age, but then I played basketball, which my grandpa, loved this man to death, really wanted me to play basketball. And I was like, Grandpa, my grandpa's like 6'4".
Yeah, he's a
He played
huge
basketball in
specimen.
college. I think he still holds the record at La Tech for most foul outs in a single season.
Look it up, John Stevenson.
Like just a behemoth of a human being.
He's a large man.
And I'm like, Grandpa, I'm 5'3" and I'm short and I can't jump and I'm slow.
Yeah.
So I don't really think
But you're tough in the paint. You can box
was.
out.
I was, but you know, when you're facing someone like Caitlin Clark, who's like 6'2",
And
it just
she's on
doesn't
the
work.
small
Like,
side, you
it
know.
just doesn't work.
Caitlin Clark's tiny
Yeah.
compared to the rest of them.
But I played golf. I played basketball until I broke my arm. And then I quit because I didn't want to get hurt for softball season. And then golf, that's pretty
And
much it.
also because women's
Tennis.
basketball is not very fun.
It has been fun to watch lately.
Shout
I
out to
love
Caitlin
all the
Clark.
drama.
I mean, yeah, it's been more entertaining to
It's more
see,
physical.
for sure.
Like,
Well,
I'm talking about
they're
like
getting
throwing
old.
like punches and stuff.
Well, that's what it is,
But I'm
though.
talking about like
No,
actual
they're
physicality.
getting more dirty, physical.
Well, maybe.
And I don't know. Is it good for the game? Is it bad for the game?
I don't know. That's a different episode.
You know, I think that I don't want to go into this too much, but it's good for the game in the sense that I've seen WNBA being talked about on TV more than probably ever before.
True.
So good for them.
Yeah.
Is Angel Reese good at
We're
basketball?
not going to get into this. It's not that type of podcast.
Can I just rip off that stat?
No, stipe.
It's a good stat though, and
No,
it's a true stat.
stop. No,
Okay.
this is not that kind of podcast.
I'm just okay.
Next, last question.
Last one already.
Yeah.
We're zooming.
Well, I mean, it's been like 25 minutes, but okay. Number seven. What is the hardest part about being a Christian athlete?
Oh. Wow.
I have a good answer if you want me to go first.
Yeah, go for it.
Give you some time.
I was ready, but you got it.
Okay. I would say, and this answer might not seem obvious, I would say understanding that God truly does not care about your how we define success as an athlete. Like, he does not care if I go 4 for 4 with four bombs. What, in my opinion, what I see in scripture most of the time is God being used through people's hardships. So I think actually, as a Christian athlete, you do more good for the kingdom when you are struggling.
When you strike out.
But only if you have the right perspective. So like if you strike out and then you run into the dugout and throw your bat and then you have bad body language and stuff, that's not doing it the right way, obviously.
Yeah.
That's not doing kingdom things. That's not, finding humility and grace in your failure.
When I hit 170 in single A and was racking up probably at least 2Ks a game, I was just doing the Lord's work.
Just doing the Lord's work.
Just spreading the gospel through my strikeouts and my walks back to the dugout, thanking the Lord for this opportunity.
But it's true. Like, if you really think about the stories in, like, the Old Testament.
All of the stories.
Like, and New Testament horrible. Stories. Like, these people are literally, like, losing their children. Yeah. And we're over here like, I struck out. This is the worst thing ever. It's like, well, Lot's wife is a pillar of salt, so.
And it's hilarious because, like, that was literally me. Like, I'm not going to go through my whole testimony, but, like, great answer, by the way.
Thanks.
And I agree completely, and I don't really want to give a different answer because I was kind of going to say the same thing. Like, it's about a relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about your success in the game.
Because, like, the hardship in the game, let's be honest, is not real hardship.
No.
Like, really, is not at all. Not.
And I just, it makes me laugh looking back on my entire baseball career and thinking, like even when I was in, like, college, I would post a picture and be like, for God's glory. It was like, no, it's not. Like, I didn't post that picture for God's glory. I posted that picture because I thought I looked sick.
Yeah.
And I probably just had a double or something. I was trying to give myself glory. But mm-hmm. I was like, for God's glory.
Yeah.
And that's not all. I mean, there were times where, like, I was truly... My purpose and what I was trying to do was to just, like, be at least a light
mm-hmm.
for the kingdom, not...
I think, too, sorry to interrupt you, I feel like also God's purpose is not what you can show others, it's also in what you can do to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, again, the hardship, we'll put it in quotes, the hardship you face in this sport is much more about forming you into... the follower that he wants you to be and being able to be humble in situations where it's not easy and the ability to, submit to his will even when it doesn't line up with your own.
Yeah.
And
obviously
most people don't make it far in the sport as far as we did at least.
Right.
And then beyond that, even further, there's other places we could not go. We didn't make it to that other people got to. And I feel like, I feel like it's really easy to get tied into God's for me if I make the team. God's right. for me if I hit this home run.
Yeah. And that's like, mine was always like that, but almost backwards where I was like, ooh, I had success. Like, let me go shout out God real quick.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's what you should do, but the intentions though were like, I don't know, it was just weird. I think that for me, weirdly, like the closest I ever was to God was when I was hitting 170 in single mm-hmm. A. Not ever in my entire life, but like that's a time where God used the game of baseball I wouldn't say humble me, but to bring me back. And on your point of using hardship to grow the relationship, like, and again, it's funny. It's like, how lucky am I that me hitting 170 in single A is like the hardest, one of the harder things so I've ever had to go through. People
like starving in the world right now.
But, God uses everybody's, gifts or things that they want very badly. A lot of the times... To bring us back to him. So I think that, that's when I was reading my Bible a ton, praying more than I probably ever prayed, even though my prayers were probably like, God, please help me not strike out again. At least I was talking to him, mm-hmm. So, I think it's to your point, like mm-hmm. God does not care whether you're a good athlete or a bad athlete, good at hitting bombs or striking out. He just cares how you glorify his name and that you care to have a relationship with him. And you could do that from riding pine or being an all-star center fielder or a pitcher or shortstop.
Like, or not playing sports at all.
Or not playing sports at all. But yeah, what was the question again? The hardest thing about it? The
hardest part about being a Christian athlete.
And my clear cut answer would be humility. Yeah. Like just the humility to realize it is not about me. None of this matters to God. Mm-hmm. He's just given me a gift. He wants me to glorify him with that gift. And if that's not my intention when playing this game, then what am I doing? So, great questions. Is that a wrap?
Yeah, that's all we got.
Wow. When you said seven questions before this, I thought it was going to be like a long episode. But look at us. Let's talk for 15 more seconds. Keep it right under 20 or right at 30 minutes.
Absolutely not.
Well, thank you for everyone, to everyone for submitting questions. We'll do it again if people keep having questions. But yeah, that's another episode of the Retired Podcast. It is past midnight and time to get some sleep. Shout out to Recover 180, by the way. USDA. USDA Organic Hydration Recover 180. Best stuff on the market. Sports drinks.
Make sure you get your gulp right into the mic. Nice.
It wasn't even that bad. Bye.